All right, I'd like to call this meeting to order. And first, I'd like to have an introduction of who's here. So let's see. I am Albert Contreras, and I'm the president. And let's see, I'll go to my right here.
Dirk Neihardt from Berkeley.
That's Dirk Neihardt from Berkeley. Okay.
I'm Joe Xavier from the Department of Rehabilitation.
I'm Donna Sanchez from San Jose, and I was OCB in 1976-77.
Judy Wilkins, and I was at OCB in both 1960 and 1961.
I'm Anita March, and I'm from San Francisco chapter of CCB, and I was at OCB in 1991.
Okay, and I'm Albert Contreras. I was OCB from 1978 to 1979. Okay, and if we could have Judy do our minutes. One moment. And pass it over.
You know what I'm thinking? Since we don't have enough time to hear from Joe.
Let's hear from Joe first, then. And this is Joe Xavier from Department of Rehabilitation. Will give us some thoughts of what's going on.
Joe, could you say your official title?
Here you go, Joe.
Hang on, let me come grab that. Albert? Yeah. Oh, I got it. And also, Catherine Bales, who I shared with you guys earlier, has just joined us. She's our Blind Field Services Administrator. So, Catherine.
Okay. Here, I'll do it this way. Yes, I'm very happy to be here. I've been enjoying being at some of the sessions this morning. It's been great. And now I'm looking forward to talking with all of you today.
Now, my official title, it's Deputy Director for the Specialized Services Division within the Department of Rehabilitation. So, first of all, let me share with you that Linda Sandretz, she's not able to be here. She, unfortunately, has a medical condition that prevents her from flying. And so walking down here was just too much for one weekend. But she does send her well wishes for the convention as well as for the alumni luncheon and meeting today. I shared with you yesterday a number of the activities that are taking place at OCB. Of course, you all know about what's taking place with the maintenance and upgrade. And
a lot of people may not have been in the session, so maybe a good review.
Okay, sure. Let me just go through that real quickly. Let me find my spot here on my notes. That talks about, okay, here I am right here. First, let me step back. Okay, so the official construction date was October 18th. We finally went through the entire process. Sossel Corporation, who has a lot of history dealing with public works projects, for the school systems, is undertaking the maintenance and upgrade efforts there. Their contract officially began on October 18th, and they started shoveling the ground in meetings this past Tuesday. So that's all great news. And now their projection to get this done is July. We have until September 30th to make sure that everything is done. And then we have 2 months to pay all the bills. So we're very much crossing fingers, toes, anything that we can to make sure that happens. But as I shared yesterday, construction is a rather unpredictable business in some fashions. So we are allowing for some adjustments as we'll need to as we go through this. One of the things that I want to just share with you as former alum of the campus is that we have an individual who is assisting Linda in this effort, Warren Hayes, who's very much has the skill set that we need to keep all of the balls in the air and making sure that what needs to get done is getting done. He very much has the campus's needs and best wishes in mind as we move through this. He's already, the contractors, as it is when they come on board, they look for ways to save money. That's their objective because they already know they're going to make this much if they can save in what they do. Then they want to do that because that means more money for them. And Warren's and my belief is that we'll make any changes that are mutually beneficial. We're not interested in making changes that don't benefit the campus or cost us money. So that's kind of the mind frame that we're working on. What is occurring is that on November the 19th through January the 9th, the campus will be closed to residents. That means students staying on the campus, not the services. So students that are in the area, they can come in for services, where that's appropriate, we'll do that. But we need to close the residents down, and there's two primary components driving that. Number one, in the kitchen, there's going to be a replacement of some significant pieces of equipment, which will bring down the food services, and so that wouldn't be available to the students. Number two, in dorms, they're going to renovate the rooms where the students will be coming back into, and they're excavating to put in the elevator for the dorm. You can access the second floor without stairs. We think that'll be very beneficial. And at the same time, there's other some significant infrastructure that will be done during that window of time. Now, important to know here is that staff is not being laid off. Nobody is being terminated. They're going to have individual plans developed, working with their supervisors to make sure that, you know, vacation time that they choose to use, they can, in-service training. And then there's other activities they'll be doing to support this effort as we move forward. The outcome of this renovation, this maintenance and upgrade, is going to provide for a computer, which is going to improve our ability to provide services to the consumer, hands-on, and we're exploring ways so that when the consumer comes in, and as an example, they get a PacMate, that they learn how to use that, they're comfortable with that, and they'll be able to just move right on into the rest of their services and won't have to have a lapse in the AT provision. So there's a number of logistical and mechanical things that need to be worked out for that to occur, but that's the effort that we're looking at. The work at OCB is, of course, going to provide us with a timely opportunity to look at our curriculum and to see how we can improve the curriculum to best serve the students. Training in each student's media preference, training, management, budgeting, you know, the very basic things that some of us took for granted. I know I certainly did as a youth. I think budgeting or managing my cash was something that was very important until somebody showed me that if I don't have enough to get to the end of the month, I could be hungry. So we'll be spending some time with that. Independent living. One of the things that will be the result of this projects that were underway is it will be a number of units that will be apartment settings, which will enhance the opportunity for the students to have that real in-home type of independent living skills development. More instruction on online access. You know, we have shop banking. In fact, I'm trying to figure out what it is you can't do online anymore, because it seems like that's easier than making the list of what you can do. So providing that exposure and that skill set for the student. Classes and activities such as dance, yoga, self-defense, those are things that we're looking at. And a lot of these things, I think it's important that we don't focus necessarily on the title or the function of the activity, but what it provides for the student. It provides them that ability, that opportunity to become more social in their interactions, to learn that skill set, and the confidence that they need, whether they go back to their homes to be more independent or ultimately to pursue employment and become totally and fully independent in their lives. And, you know, those are essentially the highlights of what I have, and I know a number of you may have questions, so I'd welcome an opportunity to hear from you and provide answers that I can, and those that I can't, we'll get back to you. Okay, so how do we do this? Do you want me to repeat it or hand you the mic?
Hand me the mic, I think, okay. Since we're all such
okay, I don't want to bang anybody on the head with us.
This is Judy, and I have a question. I know at the beginning of the summer, because I sent in a letter of application, that there were a couple of PEI positions.
Yes.
Can you talk about hiring? Are there hiring freezes? What's going on?
Yes.
I'll hand it back.
Okay, here we go. Okay. So yesterday, as I reported, data is under a hiring freeze. This is a very hard hiring freeze. Hard hiring freeze means no promotions, no nothing. What we can do is what we call a lateral. It means you can take somebody, move them from one position to the other, as long as it doesn't constitute a promotion, but that you're borrowing. You're taking somebody from wherever you take them from.
It was kind of like the position, like the change you made when you moved last spring. Would that have been like a lateral?
Well, sort of. I mean, it would have been something,
that kind of thing.
So we're not allowed to do any hires right now, and OCB has a couple of very significant vacancies. We have our engineer vacant, and not much, not something that we think about unless it ain't working, and then we're looking for the person that can fix it, and you know. And the, and so we, one thing we were able to do is to bring back the former engineer in a different capacity, so he's providing some part-time support. So, but the full-time position is vacant. We're looking to fill that. The rehab supervisor that oversees the staff, that's vacant. And Barbara Lassen has been serving as a retired annuitant in that position, but we're obviously looking to fill that. And I think there's a couple of other vacancies as well. Mm-hmm. Anything else, any other questions that you may have that I can answer for you?
I'm new to this.
Okay.
What kind of engineer?
What's your name?
Okay, my name is Brian Ostosh, San Diego Braille Club, and it's my first CCB convention because I don't travel much, because I don't want to. I've got everything going, and I'm in a phase of my life where I'm starting to volunteer. I hooked up with the Alumni Association where I went to college, and I saw alumni.
Are you an OCB? Right?
I don't know what OCB is.
Orientation Center.
What is
orientation? This is where you are. You're at the Orientation Center for the Blind meeting and luncheon, and that's a place where blind people go to learn the skills they need to operate successfully.
Okay, I went through the O&M training at the Service Center for the Blind here in San Diego.
Okay.
Now, are you located in San Diego or?
No. Albany,
Berkeley.
California.
Albany, I've been, I know Albany, I know those Twin Towers. I got a friend that lives on the 10th floor up there, I've been there.
Well,
so I know how to get there. How to get there.
Okay.
Do I need the microphone or I'm talking?
No, no, you're fine. You're
okay.
Fine.
I'll hold it. I'll just keep it warm here.
No, we're hand it back to Joe because he's answering questions.
Okay.
Okay.
I had one.
Yes, Albert.
So, so this will be closed from the 19th to January 9th, but yet they're still having service for local people, right?
Correct.
Yeah, so for the recording, Albert is asking if the campus closure through 19th through the 9th, if we're still providing services. Yes, students that are in the area that can come on campus, we're certainly going to be providing services there. Where staff can reach out to the students in their environment, Linda's looking to make sure that we provide some services there. But, you know, undoubtedly, students who are remote from the campus, you know, will flight away or long drives away, they're going to be less likely to receive services. But this, you know, and just keep in mind that I think you guys all know this, this is a really an extension of the couple of weeks where, you know, during the holidays.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. So the timing just seemed and the planning really built to expand on those weeks where we were closed for the holidays.
Okay, next question.
You said that that if you can save money on the renovation, you would, but I hope to shout that you won't not have quality work.
Okay. Let me clarify. So when I say save money on the renovation, let me explain. When a contractor gets a contract, and let's just say that the contract was for $100,000, they know they've agreed to do all this work for $100,000. There's only two ways that they can make more money. Number one is say, you didn't put that in the contract, so now we're going to charge you extra money.
Correct.
Or number two, find a way to reduce their expense in how they perform the work that was called for. And so what we operate under the premise is that when it's a change that's mutually beneficial, so if we had said, you need to do A, B, C when you do this step, and it's mutually agreeable that it's better if we do A and C, and it saves, it's best for both parties, then we do that. But we're not interested in saving the contractor money. Okay?
Correct.
They are. We're not. We're only interested if it's mutually beneficial to the campus and to the contractor. Primary concern is the campus. So we're not taking any shortcuts that cheats the campus out of what was planned for and called for in the contract. Okay.
What is called for? What renovation charges specifically making?
He's mentioned a number of them.
Yeah.
I mentioned a number of them, and I think it might take about a 5 or 6 hour window to go through all of them. But
it's online.
Yeah, and it's very extensive. You know, the dorms are being renovated. I mean, let's go back and start with the premise the campus was built in the 50s.
Mm-hmm.
And although things have been done over time, nothing on this scale. So I'll give you a couple of the highlights that I can recall right off the top of my head. The dorms, the rooms are being renovated, upgraded. You know, windows, these windows are, they're old. You know, they need to be upgraded so that they seal, protect better against, you know, the environment. Apartments settings will be created in some of the dorm rooms. Elevators putting in so that people don't have to, that are not able to use the stairs, have access to the second floor. Computer lab is being put in. The what I want to call the rooms to the cafeteria.
Multi-purpose room.
Yeah, I forget what the official name, but that's going to become more of a conference setting, mm-hmm. so that it provides added functionality for the campuses and what's doing there. We're putting in some video conferencing for that. There are some accessibility issues that need to occur whenever we do a level of maintenance. So the sidewalks, for example, they're not. They don't meet the required code, so we're upgrading those, making sure that our bathroom facilities are compliant with the ADA. We're putting in flooring in the administration building. So there's a number of activities that we're doing to make sure that those get upgraded. In the administration building, you know where you have the library? Library is going to become, we're going to also create our library in the dorm so the students have access to that. The gym area is being upgraded. That's where some of the computer lab and some of that work will be done. So, and there's probably many other pieces like that that'll be done over time. And, you know, and I'm sorry, I don't have a complete listing of that, of every single detail, but that gives you an idea of some of the things that we're doing there. It's about when it's all said and done, it's going to be over a $7 million effort.
Is that stimulus package money, Joe?
Yes. Well, and that's what afforded us this very unique opportunity to do this, because without that, there's simply the money isn't around to do it. So when the stimulus money came, quick like bunny rabbits, we figured out that this would be a good way to, you know, bring this campus a little closer to today's standards.
Okay. No, you didn't mention earthquake.
No, included in that is the equipment, like computers and that kind of stuff?
Yes. AT, the assistive technology equipment, will be a significant part of that.
There's a mic right here. Do you mind if I use it? Earthquake.
I'm sorry.
Earthquake retrofit.
You know what?
Fault line.
Well, I'm sorry. I don't know where the fault lines run. I can tell you that
I think the initial building's worse.
Yeah, I can tell you that if it was necessary, it's being done.
It's being done.
Yes.
Okay. What kind of engineer do you need?
Are you talking about the vacant position?
I'm talking to any kind of engineer.
Well, the position, it's a stationary engineer, so it's sort of the jack of all trades. You know, they're going to fix
it guy.
The fix-it guy. Thank you very the super handyman.
Yeah, what do you need? I mean, specifically,
well,
what do you need?
There's a job out.
It's one of those things that's ongoing.
Okay.
Yeah. There's if you go to.
I can't be there every day, but I can do anything you want to do.
Well, you'd have to apply and be a civil service.
It's a civil service position.
It's a civil service position.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, so you'd have to...
Eight jobs of California Civil Service.
Correct.
They take old guys?
We don't discriminate against age, no matter what the age is.
They take partially sighted guys?
Or vision. Obviously, I'm blind. A number of us are blind, so, yes.
I can do it.
Okay, well, if you're interested, apply for the position.
Yes.
Oh, of course.
Well, the work is there, so, yes.
That's where the work is.
Well, that could be
the
good.
The instructions
could be
are on the computer,
yes.
The website.
Well, but
I build space shuttles.
Great.
I build airplanes.
Excellent.
I can do anything. You know.
Good.
Construction, when you say building is difficult, building buildings is easy compared to high-tech jet airplanes.
Sure, understood. But if you're interested, take a look on the State Personnel webpage. The announcements are there. The applications are there. Good for you.
But what are they going to do to my security check?
That's a different organization. Ask that question somewhere else.
Okay.
That's not our expertise.
Give me where's the website? What's your
spb.ca.gov.
SPB.ca.
Okay. Any other questions?
SPB.ca.gov.
Okay. A little background. I got into computers in
1960.
No, we don't have the time.
Okay, we're going to have to run through it. I'm here for the lunch. Okay, I don't know what your schedule
is. So, any other questions regarding OCB? If not, I want to turn it over to Kathy so that Joe can go out to the other. It's a little after 12, right?
It's 12 o'clock.
It's 12 o'clock right now.
Okay. Thank you, Joe.
Does anybody have any other questions?
Okay. Goodbye, Joe.
Joe?
All right, goodbye. Thank you.
We're not.
Are you guys kicking my boss out?
No, I never do that.
No. He told us to kick him out.
Yeah. Oh, he did.
Okay.
Let me just share with you one thing that I would let you guys know. If you know, as things come up, things are what they are. If you guys ever run across anything that you need to ask about, send Linda a note. Give me a call. Don't hesitate. We'll be glad to. Alum, we very much appreciate your input and what you guys bring to this, so don't hesitate if there's a need for that.
What's your email and phone?
Okay. You have something to write on, I hope?
Yes.
It is email JXAV as in Victor, IER, at dor.ca.gov, and phone number is 916-558-5817. Okay?
Okay. Hey, thanks,
Joe.
Thank
you,
Joe. Thank you. Glad I could do it.
Even though we're few, Joe, I want you to think that we don't care and don't appreciate it.
No, thank you. And the campus is one of my areas.
The campus is one of my areas of responsibility, and we very much appreciate that we have alumni that have an interest in it. That's always very supportive. So I always welcome the opportunity to be here. Linda, of course, would love to have been here. But the number is not what's relevant to us. It's your interest. So.
Michelle? Okay.
So, Michelle Burns?
No, Nathan?
Yeah.
Okay. We'd like to hear a little bit from Catherine. Is it Catherine or Catherine?
I go by Catherine. Okay. I did bring my business cards. They are also in Braille, so I'll pass these around. Then you'll have them right there. Okay? Okay, let me tell you just a little bit about Blind Field Services, because we are the ones that refer our consumers, our clients, to OCB. And we value OCB. We want to be able to make sure that our consumers are getting...
There's more. What just happened on the table? Sorry, Kathy.
No, that's fine. I want to make sure that you guys have everything you... Okay, so, yes, OCB is valuable for our consumers. We want to make sure that they have those independent living skills that are so very important, whether they're younger or older in life. To be able to live independently, to be able to have that confidence. Joe mentioned that confidence as well, how important it is to be able to feel good about going out and thinking, I can go back to school, I can go back to work. Sometimes when consumers go to OCB, their vision loss is fairly recent. They don't think that they can work at all. And they no longer can do what they did before, what have you, like that. When they get to OCB, they have the opportunity to explore different areas that provide them with the skills that they need. They can use a cane, they can learn Braille, or they learn to use other technologies that open up an entire new world for them. So they may go to OCB in a plan that's called a homemaker plan, and most of you know what that is. But before they leave, the counselor, that there is a regular case manager, the counselor out in the field, counselor there at OCB, Mary Beth Stevens, and the consumer have entered into a conversation, and they say, yeah, no, employment really is possible for me. And I love it when I hear that. It's our goal to get every Californian with vision loss who wants to work, back to work, or going to work. So it's a big job. We want to inspire train, mentor the consumers. And that means our counselors need to do as well. Right now with Blanfield Services, I have two vacancies. I have a vacancy over in Los Angeles, and then I have another one that is, up in Santa Rosa. I had to think of, you know, I cover the entire state. We have 65 counselors throughout the state. So I'm down two now. That means that those consumers...
Can you replace those, Catherine?
Not right now.
Because of the hiring freeze you can't.
Hiring freeze,
yeah.
Yes. I am just so grateful that I'm only down two.
Yeah.
When that hiring freeze came, it was those vacancies had just occurred, and I just went, oh, no. But the good thing was we have a very, very competent staff, I think. I'm so proud of all of them. They're working very hard. We have, at this point, we have 428 successful employment outcomes for this fiscal year. So that means that started July 1st. Our goal is to just keep increasing competitive employment outcomes. We want people to work, and here we are in this economy right now with a 12.5, what is it today? 12.5% unemployment. The problem is that for people with vision loss, we all know that's up to 70%. It's not going down. We have to. I just came from a workshop on employment, and I was very happy that in that workshop were job seekers, and the person that they had delivering the presentation really did a great job. She was talking about the types of things that I want to talk to consumers about too. How do you prepare for going to that interview? Why do you need to be there on time? What are those soft skills? What about that handshake? What about looking eye contact? What about asking the right questions? Don't talk about salary. Don't talk about your vacation time. You know, don't talk about those kind of things during the interview. That's not the time for it. But she was hitting all of those kinds of things. And they're going to be doing that kind of training OCB as well. And I'm thrilled at that. They're putting more emphasis on going to work. How do you prepare to go to work? Sure, you need that college degree sometimes, and you need the other vocational skills, but you've got to have those soft skills concerning attendance, concerning grooming, concerning, you know, getting along with people, having the attitude. So I'm thrilled. When I talk to Linda Woodbury, and we get together often, we talk about these kinds of things that are needed by our consumers. So, and we need your help, all of you alumni. What is it that you remember about being at OCB that you knew was very positive? But what can we change? What is important for the consumers who are going out there? Once they leave OCB, are they going to work? Are they going to go to school? Are they going back to their homes and getting involved in their communities? It's so important that we help them to do what is right for them. I'm open to some questions because I know you've got a lot of other things to talk about today.
How is the curriculum changes? How are those being managed? In other words, is there a committee? I know 10 years ago I served on a curriculum. I was chair.
Really? Okay.
A curriculum committee, you know, that did a lot of work. And I'm just wondering, how's that being managed?
Well, you know, I'm not over at CB, so I don't get involved with the curriculum as such, the ideas. Yeah,
sorry.
Joe might know. I would think he does. I would feel free to contact Linda Woodbury and ask her, okay? Because I know they do have a curriculum guidelines that they follow, and she is working with, there's an advisory committee, and they met recently. She is looking at the curriculum. She is trying to bring it up to date, making sure that not only for the computer lab, but every aspect of the training there, that she is revitalizing it. And I know that the OCB Advisory Committee has been active with this as well. Any other questions?
Oh, sorry. You're looking for somewhere?
Yeah, I don't have any.
Yeah, you're doing this.
Looks like we got some great food here.
Are you having lunch with us?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
Yeah, I just said I will come here and I get to know all of you and listen. And I want to hear what you have to say.
These are mine. It's a little challenging because we're having a business meeting and a lunch.
Oh, so
we need
two
pens.
Okay.
Okay. So any other questions? If not, thank you, Kathy, for being here too, and we may have some questions a little later too.
Because we're kind of informal today.
I have a couple questions actually.
Okay.
Yeah, my name is Thomas from South Nation, and currently I live in San Luis Obispo. I left home when I was 18. I got out of there as fast as I could, and I went through the San Pablo Living Skills for the Visual Impaired. So, and I'm 46, and the world has changed so much since I left home. Yeah.
I'm wondering if they like take people back to not revisit, but change things again. You know, like I said, I've been on my own for 20 years, and I'm feeling now that I'm getting older that I would need to like have a refresher course. Do they offer that kind of stuff?
Well, first of all, you would need to be a consumer of the Department of Rehabilitation, and then you would talk to your rehabilitation counselor. Talk about what your needs are.
Okay.
You and that counselor will make an assessment of the most appropriate place for you to get the skills that you need. All of our services are so individualized. And if OCB is the right place for you to go back to or to go to, then that's what we would do. Okay.
But you know, Catherine, Thomas raises an interesting question.
Uh-huh.
I was at orientation a long time ago. I'd love to have some refresher.
I think we all would.
Well, what I'm thinking is, you know, this might be a great way to provide income for the state. Some, you know, if you had, say, 2 weeks a year where it was old grads come back and pay. You know, I mean, we can't expect the state a lot of times. I mean, I know some people don't have the money, but I'd pay to come back and say, what are the new cooking skills that I might have forgotten or need a little refresher on? And how do you sew a button on again anyway? And
you know, for me, one of the big issues is...
I'm bringing it back to you.
Okay, so one of the big issues, like, I don't mind cleaning, but now most, if not all, of the celibates hurt my eyes.
Things haven't changed about cleaning.
Well, no, but like all of the celibates, like before the celibates never used to bother my eyes.
Yeah.
And now everything bothers my eyes.
Did we have salad dressing by any chance?
Yeah. That's interesting, Thomas.
Is there salad dressing somewhere?
It's on your salad.
You can maybe get one of those goggles. I'm trying to think too. You know, use gloves.
Could we get the waiter, please?
And maybe use they have those little goggles that you can put on so that you're protecting your eyes. Just an idea, because we want you to clean.
No, I know. I just.
I understand. Yeah. If you can hire somebody to do it, I'm all for it.
Never mind.
Okay. I'll put the microphone down on the table.
I think that's what we're having to do. Just.
I think. I think that. You know, you hear all oftentimes about people who are newbie blind and obviously need services, but
they need services. But there are myself. I've been married to a sighted person for years, and I swore I would never become as dependent on her as I have become. But over the years, I realized, you know, I used to do these things, and I don't anymore. And I know that I could use some mobility, refresher on everything. It isn't that I didn't learn it. I did. But I've, if you don't keep the skill, you lose it. And I'm sure I'm not the only person. I'm a senior now. I'm 60. And so it's like, you know, I know I'm not the only one who has lost his skills if you don't keep using them. And now I realize I need to get them back. So I think that would be a wonderful idea if they would allow, you know, us to come back and get some training just to remember how things. And I don't know, stoves and things are new. They're not the same as they used to be. Some of them don't even have buttons, my friend told me, anymore. So I need to learn how to do all this stuff. So that was what I wanted to say.
There's other groups.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Anyway, uh-huh. Just a thought.
Okay, how do I volunteer? I've got lots of time and knowledge, and I've mentored a lot of people, and I do volunteer workshops for warriors. I'm teaching them CAD/CAM. I can teach computers, set them up, do anything you need to do. I just need somebody to go, hey, yeah, show up in Albany's a little far.
Well, again, you have areas, you know, organizations in your area
San Diego
here.
Center for the Blind.
That you need to,
Rail Institute.
But they don't have anything. No, I went there like 15 years ago. But,
go back now.
Yeah.
See what's available now. And,
but see, I'd rather train. Well, I really want to teach what I've learned.
Is that you?
And that's how to make things. Mm-hmm. Engineer. Mm-hmm. Or assist. You know, system when building.
So that's pretty much let out now. That's on you. That contract.
Mm-hmm. No, thank you. Well, no, contract administration is what you need now, because they're going to try, like he said, like Joe said, they're going to try to do it as cheap as possible. And you need somebody there to read
so
the prints
the
and go, hey, guys.
Good.
They do. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that was the,
what's the
engineering opening?
Mm-hmm. They have.
Okay. Anyway, we're getting a little bit off of track, but hopefully, I think this is working well, and I'm glad we're all here enjoying this lunch. Any other questions that people are having about my services?
Yeah, I'd like to ask Kathy, there must be a bunch of things that cause you great pain and tears to cut. What has been the worst thing you have had to eliminate from your budget?
Time. We've been on furlough up until right now. For the past year and a half or longer, we had 3 days per month of furlough. That didn't reduce, that did not reduce our requirements and our desire to serve our consumers and all that's involved with that. It didn't reduce what's necessary to fulfill our mission, but time was what was lacking. Many of us as supervisors and managers worked all of those furlough days. I worked most of them. Joe Xavier and I would be at the office on a furlough day. Because no, we can't get our job done in 32 hours in a week. We just can't. I'm usually in 50 hours a week anyway. But for our counselors, for our staff, our support staff, the workload was still there, and then trying to get it done in that amount of time. And they could not come in like I could and work. And then that affects morale as well. When people's salaries are cut, when there's the uncertainty of are we going to be on furloughs or aren't we going to be on furloughs? One minute we were, one minute we weren't. Then it became our counselors didn't have furlough because of their union contract, but our supervisors and our clerical staff, our support staff, were on furlough. So there we have the counselors required to work every day of the week, but their supervisors and their support staff were not allowed to work. They were 3 days a week, 3 days a month of furlough. So those are some of the things because of the budget that we've experienced. It's caused confusion. The public doesn't know. Are they open? Aren't they open? You know, they're in Sacramento. Some of our local businesses rely on state employees We've got a lot of state employees up there, and now it impacted them all these months of, you know, we weren't there at work to go to their restaurants for lunch and what have you. But I think the furlough, the budget impacted that. It's been confusing for the public. It's been confusing for the staff and morale. The desire is still absolutely there to serve our consumers and to help people with disabilities of all kinds, and especially with blind field services, people with vision loss, to get the skills they need, to get the services that they need. I have not put any restriction when it comes to the budget on our consumers getting the services or the equipment that's needed. If it's necessary for that particular consumer, we're moving ahead with it. During the budget crisis, during the budget impasse, we were still able to authorize services for school, for equipment, for other services, independent living skills services. But boy, we had to get creative.
Can I?
You bet.
Catherine, you know, we were all sad about events like the closing down of Sensory Access Foundation and so forth.
Yeah.
And we know you've been under budgetary constraints. What is happening now to rehab being able to pay vendors like, you know, assistive technology or adaptive technology services and places like that that do your contract work for you? Are those people...
We are paying.
Can you pay them again? I mean, for
absolutely.
You couldn't pay them.
As of October 12th, we were paying our bills. Okay. October 12th, the budget was ready. The state controller's office was issuing checks. We may be out as of October 12th. We have
You're
been able to bill.
As of October 12th?
Yes. I even got a travel check finally. Mm. I thought that was pretty exciting. Here came an email and, you know, saying, check ready for you. And I went, really? And I went up to our accountant, and here it was a travel check from having to go somewhere in July. And I now had my travel check. So, yeah, the checks are being processed. Everything was processed for all of our services that we were authorizing during this budget impasse, but we could not issue the check. So we kept on with authorizing services. And for some of our vendors, they were able to provide the services knowing that, yes, eventually the state will have a budget. We've never gone this long. 100 days it was. Absolutely incredible.
Yes.
So, yes, we're paying our bills.
Great. Well, Seth, the fees that have been going on so long, your inbox of resume must be included the road scholars, PhDs, and O&M. Is this that the case?
That's right. That's right. When we are able to hire, as you know, the rehabilitation counselor exam is online. I think you all know about that. And so as the time goes by, more people will be taking that exam online. And by the time I am able to, or my supervisors are able to interview, they will have a very good selection of people to hire. Yeah, and interview. We've hired in the past, 8 months, we've hired about 8 new counselors. And all of these counselors have their master's degree in rehabilitation counseling or another related field. And I've had an opportunity to meet several of the new counselors. One of them, Linda Johnson, is here at the convention today. And she's got a booth for Blind Field Services up in the exhibit hall on the 3rd floor. If you get a chance, go say hi to her. She's brand new. And she is excellent. I'm so proud of her.
All right. Well, if there are no further questions, Kathy, thank you very much. And I'd like to kind of move on because we had a couple of things done. Judy, if you could, are you able to, at a point where you can do our minutes, or should we take about 5 or 10 minutes?
I can do minutes.
Okay.
I apologize because I'm reading them off my computer through earphones because I didn't get them onto my Braille device. Okay, so, but I'll read them as OCB business meeting. OC business meeting. The meeting, this is by David Jackson, by the way, who provided the meeting, the minutes. The meeting was called to order by President Albert Contreras at 11:30 a.m. on April 10 at the Crown Plaza San Francisco Hotel. Introductions were made. The speaker for the meeting was Linda Woodbury, the new administrator for OCB. Minutes were not available from the meeting. Treasurer's report, there was a payment to OCB in the amount of $50. There was only a partial ending balance of $540.80. There was a question about the Constitution. about when elections are held, and David Jackson said they were held at the fall, are supposed to be held at the fall convention. David Jackson said that he would volunteer to do the minutes at this minute and submit it to me, to Judy Wilkinson. Albert stated that in the fall, there would be a slate and elections. Linda Woodbury began her remarks by saying how proud she was to be heading up an institution such as OCB. She promised that she is always interested. I'm being distracted because my dog, I think, is going to get sick. So I'm very upset. I'll get these done as fast as I can, but I apologize for my sloppy reading here. She promised that as long as she is there, she's committed to hearing whatever we have to say. And sometimes she says it would be hard to act on those things overnight. After the break, Ms. Wooder continued on talking about the remarks about the OCB is committed to, can make a difference in someone's life. She said that's one of the things she's going to task the advisory committee with. Linda said that there's a lot of construction going on to maintain the infrastructure of the campus. Ms. Woodbury went on to say that they want to provide students with a choice regarding technology by bringing in vendors and opportunities to make decisions of what they want to do. In her closing remarks, she said she wants to see us challenge ourselves and helping one another and even disagreeing with one another. But not fighting with each other, but being in alignment to get the job done. We also heard from Catherine Bales, Fields Blind Services representative, and Joe Xavier, acting deputy director. He was affirmed about 2 days later, committing their ongoing support of OCB. There being no further business, the meeting was adjourned at 1 p.m. Respectfully, Sid David Jackson.
Okay, are there any discussion about the minutes, and anyone like to move that it's accepted?
I move that we accept the minutes.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Okay, minutes are carried. Okay.
You're gonna take her, huh?
Now, I would like to give the treasurer's report. Okay, as far as the treasurer's report, all we have right now totally in our checking, it's gone up a little bit, $613.80 as of today is what is in the treasury. There were some dues, I think, taken, and that's what made it probably go up a little bit. So that's what it is, $13.80. And I would also like to bring up the fact that two of my officers, who are the vice president and treasurer, are not able to be here due to some personal things going on. And I had originally said that we would have elections, but I was going to ask, because they won't be here in the spring, and I wondered if it would be okay, because I would like to sort of keep the organization as it is, until next fall, where we will all be here and we can have new elections at that point. And I just kind of wanted to discuss that with everyone and see what people thought.
Don't know that we can, if the Constitution, what does the Constitution say? I'm not sure we can just...
It says we might have to have, but I didn't have the actual Constitution with me. In fact, I wanted to get copies of it brailled so I could actually see it. I think
we do need to. I mean, this organization is falling apart.
Yeah, it
is. We have no. I mean, we're a dead chapter.
Yeah.
Look how many people are here. 10 people. 10 lunches paid for.
It used to be 30 before Dave Jackson got here.
Well, Jack is. I mean, he's but he has to bide his time. But I'm trying to say that we need to think about what to do. It's always been a problem, but I've never seen this organization in such disarray.
And
I'm not sure we can just arbitrarily say let's move it down to next fall. Why do you think anything's going to be better next fall? You know what I'm saying? Why are we waiting on two officers who can't be here? And, you know, the burden falls on you, but you can't, you can't keep this organization going single-handed. It's partly because you've had to try to do that, that things have happened. You haven't had the support you need.
But there's not enough of us to really, really have
And we don't know anything about the advisory committee. We don't know, we can't help we're meant to be here to support OCB, to share with each other, to keep the memories alive, to keep the history going. And I mean, I'm very concerned in this. I'm very concerned that Albert has had to carry the burden by himself, basically for a year.
Albert, do you know how many actual members we have?
Well, we have, supposedly have about 25, and I think in the last thing we heard, we have to actually go through it again, but we have about 13, but I don't know how many members have kept up their dues.
See, the thing is, I think most people would think, what do I get for my dues? In other words, I paid my dues in the spring. No acknowledgement of that.
Yeah.
No, I don't know whether I'm on any, mailing. I don't know whether I'm on the state's list or not. I mean, we need to, I think, have a board or a committee to come to the spring convention with some recommendations. Either we should hold them or fold them. If we're not going to be a viable affiliate, we should close our doors.
Why don't we know? Why don't you have those figures? Because your treasurer's not doing it, or your...
No, he's doing it, but we just haven't had... I don't know whether people haven't come. I thought more people would be here. This is,
I did too.
This was the least that I've seen of people here, and I'm really surprised that...
there are people that have been from OCB that I have seen. They haven't looked.
And
they're at other places.
We announce all the time, and I'm not sure whether we've had it. This has been so bad, partly because even when I was on this before, we've had problems with not being able to really have a newsletter, and it's just been very small. Even the time that David Jackson had it, it was very small. And it's like, there was always, 20 or 30 people here. But I'm not sure, and I have not wanted to stop our organization, because I thought we needed to be here, and even if it was a small group, keep an eye out on for
OCB. Well, who's on the advisory committee?
At this point, I'm not sure. I was at the one advisory committee meeting. I was on a conference call, but it was lucky that for that particular one, I was on a furlough day, so I was able to be on the call. So,
but you see the problem with no secretary ever taking minutes, nobody to turn these minutes into. Where am I supposed to turn in it? You see what I'm saying? We have no infrastructure. We have no records. We have no history.
Albert.
I mean, you can't say who was on the advisory committee. Where is that information?
And do you have a dialogue with your advisory committee?
Do you have a dialogue?
There's no committee.
I know there is one, Jane.
I love a dialogue with them, but part of it is that we all have been as...
Sorry.
Excuse me.
The question is, does he have a dialogue with his officers?
I do have a dialogue with them, but it's been hard because after a certain point, we kind of were running certain things ourselves and didn't quite know who to send things. We would send, we send lists, the officer lists to the office, and that we've done. But I never knew who was on the... advisory committee. I knew that there was a blind advisory committee for rehab, but I didn't know about, who was serving on the OCB committee, and that's been a problem, so.
Albert, how can we help? I mean, what do you think? I mean, what can we do?
Well, I think what I need to look at is we need to possibly now see about having elections, I guess, spring, and we need to redo that. Because this is so small, I don't. We even called members earlier this year, too, asking if people wanted to be members, and a few called, but no one, I thought people that would know would be here, and usually have, this is the least turnout I've seen.
Do we have a membership list?
Yeah, we do. Yes, we do.
Who has that?
Our the vice president and treasurer do, and I need to see about getting that list and see if we can, but I think this list is, because they were going by the older list about a year ago when they said they had 25 members. Now I think it's a little smaller. It's about 13.
Well, I think there is a level at which we cannot be legally an affiliate if we have fewer than a certain number.
Oh, yeah.
I need to check to see how that goes. I'm going to call the office.
Well, okay, so it seems to me it's if you don't mind me just jumping in, because me, former teacher, I just try to boss everybody around. But it seems to me that your plan of action needs to be to convene your board.
What's that?
To convene your board.
Okay.
To see if there is a... To see if what number need... Call the office, find out how many members can constitute an affiliate. That has to be done first.
Yeah.
And then you need to find out whether we really have, that many dues-paying members, and then we need a little time to try to beef up the membership. And maybe we should have a phone tree of some kind to call all the members we know. We should put something in the California Connections. Where are you, OCB alumni?
That's a great idea.
California Connections should be contacted.
Does our California Council office, they have a list of former OCBers that belong to the CCB? Was that ever on form?
The membership lists are not available for public consumption, for our own protection.
Okay.
I'm not sure who has access to those or how. If you have your own rosters, your officers keep.
But aren't the chapters supposed to send the list to
the office?
Yes, we do. We have sent the list.
And when you sent them,
the office would have the list. And you, being our president,
you can have that list.
Oh yeah. Now I need to get that another list of that myself and read that, and I'll get that.
Okay, so I'm putting that you're going to check with the office for the membership.
Yeah, and. Or check with the list that the officers have. I will check with the office as well.
Yes.
Please, thank you so much.
We will try to have a board meeting.
Did she make it?
Maybe we'll need to maybe have a
we've not had a board meeting separately at the convention, and we might just do that just so we can see what we can do. But I will definitely, I guess the office, I have an old constitution that was done in 1956, and I'm not sure if that's the original one.
Excuse me, I'm going to be leaving.
Okay.
And it was very nice to see all of you.
Thank you, Kathy. We haven't heard of all the things you haven't done.
I just want to hear the things that you have done since you have been president. Have you ever spoken to OCB staff?
Well, the main thing I have spoken with is Linda Woodbury, and had her come, and I talked to her occasionally. That's what I have
done. How many
done.
Times have you spoken to Linda in the last 6 months?
Oh, actually just about once or twice, because I was telling her about the meeting, and then she asked me to be on the call for the OCB advisory committee, so I was on that call. And
how many times have you spoken to your secretary or treasurer?
Oh, I speak with them fairly, you know, I could speak to them, not as often as I hear about it, but I've spoken with them in the last couple of months, and that's when I learned that they were not really able to be here. And
Anyway, I want the elections, and I want to nominate Linda as president.
Do you want to nominate who?
You.
Judy.
That's Judy.
Judy W. That's right.
Well, no, that's not fair. We need to do this. I understand what you're saying, Kirk, and I'm trying to find the best way through the thorny thicket. And, you know, Albert, you know, nobody's perfect. It's always been a hard organization, and I'm not sure what to do. But I think we should...
If people are feeling that I haven't done that good a job, which I'll admit maybe I haven't, I'm going to step down and have Judy take it and help me out. And I'd be willing to serve, in another capacity, even as vice president. I think even my board would say, because if these were the elections that were to take place, it might be a better thing, because I feel a bit inadequate, and I feel like I've let people down.
I would also like to elect the people who are not here, who have accepted officer jobs and do not even show up for the convention. So that would be a total of 3 people.
I have a question, though. Do we have enough quorum?
Well, I think at this point, we just need a way out. I'd be certainly willing to certainly work with Albert and see what we could do by the spring. I don't know. I mean, I would take over, but I don't want it to be in any way the notion that Albert's, I'm concerned without blaming, but I don't want this, I don't want any blame to.
Oh, no.
No, it sounds like a one-man show, because that's what he's having.
But I will, I've just taken on the presidency of Kahlua, but I, love this organization, and I would do it.
Can I interject for a moment?
Yeah.
I would like to say then.
Are you objecting? Who's that? Somebody wanted to object about something.
Oh, no, not interject.
Interject. And who's that?
My name is Thomas.
Oh, yes,
and I'm
Thomas.
From San Luis.
With the unpronounceable, wonderful name.
The Greek.
Athanasian.
Athanasian.
How do you spell that, Thomas?
A-T-H-A-N-A-S-I.
Wait a minute. A-T-H, because I'm actually taking notes and you've made comments. Could you spell it?
Yeah.
A-T-H. Yes.
A-N-A. S-I-O-N.
Hey, I had an A. I wasn't. Hey, call me back.
A-N is Armenian.
Yeah. Oh, you're Owen. Okay. Thank you. Go ahead, and I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, and I'm with the Central Coast Low Vision Council. in San Luis Obispo. And we are feeling that same problem within our organization. And it's frustrating for us as well. We've been a nonprofit group. You know, we got our nonprofit through California Council of the Blind. We've been a group for we've been around for 10, but the nonprofit status came into us for 5 years. And now it's a struggle because it's about people coming to the meetings, or not enough to have a forum, or not enough to be able to consider fundraisers. And then we got switched over, you know, board members and stuff like that. And it's been about 6 months, but some of us who have been doing all of the work, like, you know, if Howard's been the one man.
Exactly.
And then our new president comes in and expects to delegate everything and then not, like, step up to the plate in his own right mind. It's frustrating because his comment is, well, we're just going to shut it all down. And I don't want to see our organization.
That's no solution.
Right. Yeah. I don't want to see our organization shut down because of a few people aren't willing to step up to the plate when they need to.
Well, I'd like to bring up one aspect then,
No, this is good. Good to hear what's going on.
It would mean kind of a reshuffling of things, but I mean, if you don't mind, Judy, I would kind of like you to sort of help me and take this, and then, you know, I'd be kind of willing. I'd still want to be, you know, vice president and work with you, and then I was going to have the other two officers be there too. But knowing that, frankly, because the way I'm looking at it now, and that's why I was hoping that you would all talk to me, because I had a feeling as I was looking at this that it wouldn't be right, since the elections are supposed to be called in the fall. That's how it should have been done in the first place. But at least if we can keep this going and then try to get the lists about who's there and try to, we'll you know, re-elect in the spring.
Well, we can't just arbitrarily.
No.
I mean, do these elections, or is it every other, is it every odd number?
According to the old constitution, that it was every, in fact, I thought it was every even year, but.
Well, this is an even year.
Yeah, and that's why I thought. But on the other hand, I just thought, because we were so small, and I didn't want to cause that much disarray of anything, and wanted to keep things going as much as possible, that you know, if people felt we could leave it because it was so small, and I didn't want to disrupt that much but keep things going. But you know, as I hear the slight dissension that people think nothing is being done, that's why I'm wondering whether it's not right to at least try to make some sort of solutions. I mean, I felt that because we're so small and yet we were still keeping an eye on OCB, that, you know, things could still be okay, because I didn't want to. I don't want to shut the organization down. Although there is a part of me that for a bit
we
of
may
time,
have. I mean, we
may have to.
I mean, if we don't meet the legal requirements to be an affiliate,
we may have to.
But I hope they'll give some time to
start rebuilding and reintegrating.
To rebuild. I mean, you know, if affiliates have died and come, you know, and come back.
Yeah.
But I'm just in a quandary about legal. I mean, to know what to do, because we didn't have elections that we should have had. I mean, I think we have to say we don't have a quorum. And I think that's what will save us. If we say we don't have a quorum, then we can't conduct business. And then we can agree that I'll do what I can to, leave Albert in his position, and I'll do my best.
Position, and you assist
to help
the
you.
Process.
You just give you a little hand.
Right. Okay.
So I mean, and then we'll seek advice.
Right.
About what our status is,
and we'll go from there.
And I'm willing to do a lot of telephone work.
And Anita says she's so. Does Kirk is that meet with your?
I would generally like the record to reflect that Albert has agreed to step down and that Judy has agreed to assume the presidency.
No, we can't do that.
Well, I think we finally said we don't have a quorum.
We don't have a quorum.
No,
we can't do it.
That has been the fruit of our discussion. Well, I would like the record to reflect that.
Oh, I've got it in the minutes, but then we'll say that that's what you asked for, and then the record's going to show that we don't think we have a quorum. Okay.
Well, that's fine, and I don't take any offense at that, Dirk, at all.
And please don't.
Yeah,
One man can't do it.
How do you spell your last name?
Dirk, D-I-R-K.
I have it. And what's your last name, Dirk?
Neihart, N as in Knight. Yes. E-Y-H-A-R-T as in terrific.
Okay. I have a problem with this.
Can I ask a question?
Donna? I think your criticism may be very constructive.
And then call it in.
Let me just say that before everybody leaves today, I want to get some emails and phone numbers so that I know this core group that I can call, or we call, and say, you know, what about this, what about that? So before you leave the room, Donna, Dirk, Albert, I want, and Anita, I want, and Mr. Athanasian.
Absolutely.
Pete, are you still here?
Also dues $5.
Yeah. No, actually, this is at $10.
Oh. Is somebody going to collect?
I'll collect, and then
okay, Albert, you will have a way of putting them down, because I have given cash.